Yes, hello and welcome to Shadforth Recreation Reserve in Tamalu on the outskirts of Olatown for what is a very special evening indeed. And thank you all for that very warm and welcome applause. May I start off by asking you, Scott, how are you?
You may indeed ask that. I am pumped and it's great to be here. Shadforth Reserve, of course, is a place steeped in over a century of sporting excellence. Of course, there's a cricket ground behind the building here, and it was here back in the early 1990s where left-arm bowler Dion Blows actually managed to drag a delivery into the gonads of the young batsman facing up, of course, resulting in a severe nosebleed for the young lad on strike. Daniel, there's also a golf course here in the area. Tell us about some... Oh, sorry, I just saw what Clalpus... He's hit the dance floor, old Clalfie, but we'll get back to them, get back to him a bit later. Getting back to my question, tell us about some of the golfing exploits that have made this place synonymous with sporting legend.
It is absolutely pumping here, Scott. Let's not pretend otherwise. Before I go on and talk a little bit about the local golf history, I suppose, the ball bowled by Dion Blows, in which he jagged the gonads of a young man facing up at the time, I thought a blood nose was an interesting reaction to being hit in the balls fairly and squarely by a cricket ball.
Fascinating reaction. Probably had something to do with the cold weather. If you have a look up there, Daniel, near the bar where there is sporting memorabilia, in that glass case there, right next to the flag, that is actually ball right there. That's it. That is the ball.
And that's the bloody handkerchief right next to it.
That's the bloody handkerchief right next to it. So it's
both mounted. Both mounted. So yes, I feel like I'm walking amongst the shadow of giants this evening, Scott, being here at Shadforth Recreation Reserve in good old Tamalu.
Yes.
But to get back to your original question, Scott, about some of the golfing exploits, I think it was back in 1992 that Spanner and Bluey actually... scored what at the time was a world record for the course, a 47 for the front nine.
Wow.
Wow. Exactly. Wow. And, you know, if only they had videotaped it, it would have gone down in history as one of the great golfing movies of all time. And, of course, the golf course itself was designed by the great Arnold Parmigiana, who was a great golf player in his own right. He had a handicap of 34 for most of his professional golfing life. He got it down as low as 31 at one point when he absolutely played a blinder up at Strathbogie.
Ooh.
But look, I'm just fantastic to be here. It's fantastic to be surrounded by all these luminaries. We'll get to some of them later.
Oh, we will indeed. Indeed. Daniel, I wanted to...
But look. Yeah. Can I just... Before you interrupt me rudely.
Yeah.
Can I just get to the point as to why we're actually here at Shadforth Recreation Reserve tonight? We are actually here for the launch of simpletonpodcasts.com. That's right. We've been on that site now for probably 6 months. But we thought finally that we'd fly you in, Scott, at no expense. We'd fly some of the other luminaries in at some expense also to actually gather here tonight and actually celebrate the official launch of simpletonpodcast.com, the home of this very podcast, Dale Richardson Investigates. And g'day, Dale. G'day.
He's here.
He's here. Didn't hear me.
Didn't hear
me. And of
course,
is that
Crystal he's talking to there at the bar?
Is that a he or a she? Oh, it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell. It could be Crystal. It could indeed be. It's a she. It might well be Crystal.
Okay.
But, you know, it's going to be the home of future podcasts such as Late Nights with Johnny Tosco, and also a very factual and historical-based podcast, Lives of the Great, in which a panel of experts get together on a weekly basis and explore the lives of those who have been great in history, such as the lives, of course, of Dion Blows and the... Well, we won't mention the name of the cricketer with the bloody nose, but those type of people will be spoken about on a regular basis. So that's why we're here, Scott. That's why this party is kicking. And yes, thanks for the applause once again, ladies and gentlemen. It's wonderful to be here amongst you.
Thank you, indeed, right. Daniel. If I may intercede,
you can interrupt me.
As you mentioned, most of those associated with this podcast thus far are present, both old and newly appointed. We'll get to that later. But I suggest before continuing on with this thing that we cut to a special message, a soundbite, featuring a very special voice from the past.
Okay, who have we got? Let's listen in.
Hi guys, it's me, Scott Gall. Just wanted to congratulate the both of you, but in particular you, Daniel, on what is a stellar achievement. To be honest, I don't quite understand what all the fuss is about with this new thing, this new podcast website, but hey, each to their own, I guess. Well done, Daniel. Have a great night. Keep up the good work. Have a great night.
Wow. That was a blast from the past, wasn't it?
Indeed it was.
I can see a few people around me now welling up a little bit with a bit of emotion. It's great. It's great to hear some of the great voices from years past.
Ghosts from the past.
Join us this evening. I know that I should be underwhelmed. Because, you know, that was you. Look, let's keep this party going. Let's not let that get us all emotional and airy-fairy. Let's hit the dance floor.
Let's hit the dance floor.
Okay, let me just grab the mic. Yes, here we go. We're out onto the dance floor to meet some of the luminaries, some of the, dare I say, legends that have made the Simpleton podcast what it is today. And Scott, I think that you've got a very special guest with you right now.
Right now, none other than Clalfus. Clalfus, how are you, mate?
Yeah, mate. How's it going, Goldie, mate?
Well, good to see you. How long was the trip in tonight to make this event?
Mate, it took me approximately, probably about 15 minutes from Balmadam, mate.
15 minutes from Balmadam, and I always thought you lived in Dookie, but there you go, one way or
mate,
another.
Mate, I practically live in Dookie, mate. It's such a rad town, mate.
I
wild whores couldn't drag me away from there, mate.
Oh, look, I won't argue with you for a second, Clalfus.
You better not, mate. I'll knock you out.
I'll take this, Scott.
Yeah.
I see you've got a couple of friends with you, Clappers. What's your kid?
Yeah,
introduce
mate. James, you let me introduce Macca. And this is Bazza.
Mate, how's it going, mate?
There you going?
Mate,
how's it Macca? Going, fellas? It's great to be here.
I haven't seen you for a while too, eh, mate?
Yeah.
Mate.
So how much are you blokes going to drink tonight?
Yeah, mate, get in with
the first
one.
Mate, I'm going to
drink all the best there is, mate.
Mate, I'm gonna be so pissed, mate. This dude's gonna be driving me out of my mind, mate.
My doctor reckons I've got terminal cancer of the liver. Okay. God, I give a fuck.
All right, boys. That's there you go, Daniel.
Thanks, mate. Yeah.
Brought a couple
thanks for
of
that,
his
lads.
Mates in from who knows where, but without further ado, we're going to now get over to Fergus O'Jamison. Actually,
great of Fergus to be here tonight. Yeah, fantastic of Fergus to be here tonight. He's flying on the way in from Edinburgh. just for this 20-minute podcast, which is a sound financial decision in its own right.
It is. Where is he though, Daniel? I can't see him.
He's over there speaking to, I think it might be Chris Dell. I can't quite work out whether it's a...
Yeah.
Whether it's a man or a woman. And, of course, Kenny Fantasia is over there as well, and that is definitely a man.
For some reason, Daniel... I am aware that we do have a pre-recorded financial tip from Fergus, even though he's
pointless,
here.
Because he's right here. That's absolutely pointless.
Absolutely pointless.
You just invite him. But you've obviously pre-recorded this afternoon, have you?
I have pre-recorded. He's 10 metres in front of us, but for whatever reason, we do have this pre-recorded.
Look at this, Fergus. Fergus, come here. Fergus. He can't. No, he's turned around. No, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. Just let's run the tape.
Hello, dickheads. This is Fergus here. Everyone's talking about debt. There is one way to get out of debt, and that's borrow money and pay off your debt. Then borrow more money. Precious metals. Take all of your money out your account and cram it up your arse. Then borrow debt.
That's the exact same advice he gave me about 15 minutes ago, Scott, when I offered to buy him a pot of VB. It was an interesting reaction, but I took it on board because he's clearly an expert. But, look, is there any new additions to the team that we should perhaps mention? We've heard some voices from the past. We've caught up with our old friend Klaus. Is there anyone else that we should perhaps meet, Scott?
We have a new signing, Daniel. A new signing, new employee at the Simpleton Podcast. His name is Dwight Scheidt. He's a professor at the University of Podsiadly there in Werribee, Melbourne. From time to time, we'll be calling on Dwight to provide opinion and analysis for the podcast. The reason he's here today, Daniel, is because he recently received a $46,000 grant from the federal government, in which he was asked to research why AFL players act up off the field. And of course, he will be addressing the Australian House of Representatives next Monday, actually, to present his findings. But he has agreed to give us a little bit of a preview on his findings.
Wow, that is it's an amazing one, two counts. $46,000 is a very specific amount. But also, as far as I'm aware, the House of Representatives isn't due to sit until sometime in mid-November, so he'll be speaking to no one. But nonetheless, Professor Scheidt, it's wonderful to have you here. Can I just get the ball rolling, so to speak? And I'm sorry, that was just off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Just like that. So, Professor Scheidt, why do these AFL footballers play up?
First of all, I'd just like to point out that the name is actually Dwite Shite, not Scheidt, and the Dwight has a silent G and H and a silent non-existent E on the end.
My apologies.
Yes. Also, I would like to register a complaint. There's a very rude, very obnoxious, very inebriated cat over there with his uncouth friends, and he insinuated I was a homosexual. Well, to answer your question, the thing, why do these players play up? And well, that's the thing, isn't it? Play a game. Play up. I think you see the connection here. Essentially, according to my research, football is a substitute for genocide. And in my feelings, football actually is genocide. It's exactly the same as genocide. Essentially, football should be called genocide ball. According to further extensive research of my feelings and things like that, I think it is safe to say that all football players need to check their cis privilege. I personally envisage a new, more progressive form of footy, which instead of football, I term heartfeel. Essentially, it is a room full of awful, humorless intellectuals talking about imaginary problems which don't actually exist. I think you can see the clear improvements over the base atrocity that is footy.
Mr. Is it Professor? Sorry, Professor Shitey or Shite. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, Daniel.
Yes.
I'm not sure how that's going to go down. You gone? Yeah. I'm not sure. I'm not really sure that that's going to go down too well, Scott, between you and I. Definitely some interesting concepts, but you know, will you be able to get the sponsors, you know, to come and support that game?
I reckon that's going to be problematic. Speaking of sponsors, we do have to take a message from one of them now.
Are you tired of your beloved Molly being impregnated by the local alley cat? More to the point, have you had enough of your tomcat sowing its wild oats among the local clowder? If you answered yes to either of these questions, and if you're tired of having to deal with that unwanted litter of kittens, then Proctor and Son Prophylactics for Felines is the answer to all of your problems. Easy to apply and available in a range of colors and flavors. Proctor and Son Prophylactics for Felines are reasonably priced and available in all good pharmacies and pet stores. Proctor and Son Prophylactics for Felines. If Fluffy wants to pack it, then he really ought to wrap it.
And of course, we thank our sponsors once again, in particular Proctor and Sons. I can actually attest to this being an absolutely wonderful product. I actually mistook it for a human prophylactic, but the girls still enjoyed it, so that's the main thing. But Scott, is that Daly Richardson that I can see at the bar?
That is him having a good spirited, but by the looks of it, very lively conversation with Mr. Nigel Nasenbluten there over at the bar.
Thank you. Well, may I suggest that, once again, I'll grab the mic and we head on over there and have a word with the lads. What do you think?
Excellent idea. We'll go over first to Mr. Richardson.
Mm-hmm.
Dale Richardson. It's a pleasure. Nice of you to come here.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Really good.
Having a lively discussion there with Nigel?
Yes, he doesn't speak English at all, but, you know, you get to know these people from all faiths, religions and backgrounds, and you're just able to, you know, be on the level with people at a particular certain point of time. And one of those nights.
Very, very good. Mr. Richardson, of course, you're fresh off the series Dale Richardson Investigates, the six-part series that ran on this network. How did it go?
It received ratings that went through the roof. One episode in particular, we had up to 300 listeners. And a couple of my tweets on Twitter were actually retweeted.
Wow.
And it received, I think, something like 79 to 80 likes on Facebook. So, I don't know how you measure success, but if that's not success, then I'm fucked if I know how you'd measure it.
Fair enough. And of course, you have here with you Mr. Nigel Nasengluten, of course, a well-known skeptic and critic of yours. What have you been talking about here?
As far as I can work out, I've been trying to debunk his theory that there aren't actually Nazi zombies. And as far as I'm concerned, there are. I've seen them in the flesh. I've actually decapitated a couple of them. But this zombie, Nazi-loving kraut, Nigel, seems to think otherwise.
Fair enough. I just got one last question for you. You're, of course, hard at work on your book, Memoirs of a Demonologist. When can we expect that one to be released?
I'm up to page 15 now. And hopefully by the weekend, I'll be up to about page 30. It's going to be a 5,000-word book spread over 25 to 30 chapters. There's going to be a lot of my own personal drawings, a lot of my own personal photography, and it's something that I think any sound-minded person, if they believe in demons or even if they're demented enough not to believe in demons, should get a hold of. And it would make actually a great Mother's Day present.
Of course, of course. Well, there you have it. Daniel, Mr. Daly Richardson here with us.
Yes. Well, absolute pleasure to meet the man. I've had many Skype conferences with him, and the fact that he's here. Let's just have a quick word with Mr. Nasengluten, if we may. Mr. He's a head. Well, I'll try and be culturally correct here. Herr Nasengluten, you are a world-renowned skeptic, and I guess the likes of Daly Richardson are the absolute opposite, the absolute nemesis, the absolute complete opposite, because I can't think of another word. What do you have to say about Dale's recent series, and what do you have to say about his upcoming book, The Demonologist Delusion?
I have only one thing that I want to say. Yeah, you see me as skeptic, yeah, man. I would say that I am more interested upon facts, yeah. And so what I talk over here with Herr Richardson, not so much as you say in skeptisch, but also was ich damit sagen wollte, ja, ist fiktisch, ja.
You mentioned facts. Did you actually mean fact when you meant to say, when you said fuck, did you actually mean to say fact?
Daniel, leave it. I think he doesn't look too keen on talking any further on that issue. So I reckon
we'll
just...
Well, no, it's just, call me a bit old-fashioned, but I expect people when they visit my country to be able to speak English properly, but that's just me.
Fair
anyway,
enough.
Scott, it's been a wild party so far.
Yeah.
I think it's only just getting started. And I think that we should now move on to listeners' letters.
Ooh. Well, where are they? I don't see
should
them.
Should I do this real? Klaufus is about to bring them over now. Klaufus!
Yeah, mate.
Yeah, can you bring the letters over, please? Thank
Round
you.
Up, yeah. Oh, sorry, mate. Yep. Sorry.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, here you go, mate.
Talk yeah, give, give him, give him Scott. Yeah. Oh, the art guy, Christel.
Yeah, mate.
But Christel, can we perhaps get Scott? What do you think? We should have to
no,
do
no, no,
with
no.
Christel? What
she no, I reckon no? Leave her there. Leave her there. I've got the letters, though, here first. Do you want to do the spiel?
You're safe. Yes, I'm going to do the spiel. Dear listener, we cannot do this podcast without you. Without your support, love and attention over the past year and a bit, we wouldn't have been able to create the empire that is Simpleton Podcast. And people like Dale Richardson wouldn't be in a job
and Klaufus would still be in Balmadam. So thank you very much for your support. If you want to drop us a line, simply visit simpletonpodcast.com, go to the contact page, and write us a short, brief, and erudite note. But having said that, Scott, I believe that you have the first letter.
Letter one is from Matthew Eden of Morupna, and Matthew writes, I can't wait to see the looks on your faces when you get a load of this. Read it and weep, gentlemen. Read it and weep.
Oh, is that it?
That's it. That's the letter. I believe you have letter two.
Yes, I do. This one is from Delaware Scotch from the Gulf of Mexico. Anyway, Delaware, or Mr. Scotch, writes, bingo. Thank you very much, Delaware. I hope the Gulf of Mexico is treating you well.
This
Scott,
one...
I believe you have letter three.
I do. This one is from Anonymous of No Fixed Address. I'll just read it.
Don't usually like these type of letters, but go ahead.
Fair enough. It says, congratulations, men, and good luck. If podcasting would be represented by Mount Everest, your hard work over the last year now sees you on the Geneva Spur, located at 24,000 feet in the vicinity of Camp 3. Gentlemen, it is at this point, with another 4,500 feet until the summit, that the alpinists are separated from the tourists. There is one name that can truly establish you both as podcasting alpinists who belong upon the summit. There is one name and one name only, Dale E. Richardson. That's a letter.
Thank you, Mr. Anonymous. What would Dale E. Richardson know about it?
What exactly? Anonymous. We'll never know who sent that one in.
Well...
Got a plane to catch, so wrap it up.
Yep, I'm wrapping it up. It's been a wonderful night. Everyone give yourself a round of applause. Yes. Thank you all for making it out here tonight. Thank you, Mr. Barnaby, the Mayor of Kamaloo, for lending us your facilities. It's been a wonderful evening. Scott, safe travels. Before you head back to the fatherland, is there anything in the week ahead that I and the listeners should be aware of?
No, sorry. I've really got to. The taxi's waiting for me out there now. I've got to hit the road.
Okay. All right. Well, see you later, Scott. It's been great having you here. Safe travels. I've got nothing to add except that it's been a wonderful night. The party is only just starting. But as far as this podcast is concerned, that's a wrap. Yes. Okay. Thank you, everyone, and goodbye.
Bye.